We're visiting weekly with independent bookstores for a segment we call Summer Reads. And this week we check in with J. Aubrey Herzog at Northtown Books in Arcata. Jay, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
There's a lot of history at Northtown Books. I didn't realize how long the store had been open. Can you give us a quick history lesson?
Well, the store was founded in 1965 by Jerry Gorsling and soon joined by Jack Hitt, who was a longtime owner through most of its existence. Dante DiGenova is the current owner. He was a longtime employee, and he's had the store for about 12 years now.
Okay, so a long time going on at Northtown Books in Arcata. You're staying fairly busy these days? I mean, we always worry about independent bookstores, but you're hanging in there.
Yes, we have like a pretty faithful clientele, and also in the summertime, there's a lot of people traveling through town. So we have a lot of travelers and tourists.
I've always wondered about the North Coast tourist impact, Arcata in particular. I mean, do people come seeking out Arcata for its uniqueness?
I think so, and especially this summer with all the fires and all the extreme heat elsewhere, I think people want to escape to the coast.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, we've certainly heard a lot of people saying, "Yeah, I need to get out of town for a couple of days and actually see the sky again." Yeah, it's been quite an issue in the inland. So let's talk about what kinds of things that you in particular tend to think about and want to read in the summer.
Well, I tend to want to read more comic-type books. The books that I picked out, a lot of them are memoirs.
Mm-hmm.
I can start right in on them if you want.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
There's a book that I very recently read called I Wrote This Book Because I Love You by Tim Kreider. It's a book of personal essays. Very self-deprecating, witty. It's a lot of it is about his relationship with women. He's a very interesting character because he has a very good self-knowledge of himself, and he has a very rocky relationship with women. But on the other hand, you understand that he'll talk about a relationship he had, and then you realize a couple essays later that he's still friends with the person that he was in that relationship with. He's a very there's a hilarious essay at the beginning about him running away with this woman and literally joining the circus. He went to Mexico with the Ringling Brothers Circus with his friend. And his description of the circus train and this whole culture of the circus is pretty great.
Is Tim Kreider known for other works?
Well, you know, he wrote a previous book of essays, and also he's known as a cartoonist. He was a political cartoonist. I think he almost is better known as a writer now, though.
Okay, so that's I wrote this book because I love you by Tim Kreider. And what's next on your list?
The next book I have is a graphic memoir, a graphic comic, as we used to call them.
Before they became graphic novels.
Before they became respectable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book called All the Answers, and it's a book by Michael Kupperman. And it's a memoir about his father, who was one of the famous quiz kids on the radio in the 40s. His father was Joel Kupperman, who was probably the most famous of the quiz kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about his relationship with his father and how the early fame of his father kind of sort of changed his father's life, not necessarily for the better. And it's very interesting, and a lot of it is about the culture of the 40s, and then about how that the fallout of his father's celebrity and then lack of celebrity kind of affected his relationship with his father.
How young were the quiz kids when they were on the radio?
Well, I think he was like 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
during World War II. And it's interesting because he also explores the sense that the fact that that Joel Kupperman was Jewish was a big part of, he was a very kind of representation of Jewish culture during World War II, and was very important because of that.
All right, so that's All the Answers, Michael Kupperman, and it makes me remember the TV quiz show scandals of probably 10 years later than that.
Oh, right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of things that came out of the quiz show culture of the late radio and early TV. And what's next on your list, Jay?
The next one is another comic memoir called, not comics in the sense of graphic novels, but comic in the sense of funny, Vacation Land by John Hodgman.
Oh, yes, yes. We had him on talking about that book. He is wonderful.
It's very good. And just on a prose level, there's quotable lines throughout. I remember when I first started reading it, I just, even in the introduction, I had to read a line to my wife because it was just like, it was his description of marriage was like spot on in a very funny way.
I don't remember the specific phrase, but I remember a lot of experiences like that in the book, things you had to read to somebody else. And the thing about John Hodgman, too, is that he was, I mean, as funny as he can be when he's being in his comic persona, he got real with us, too.
He did, yes. And I think that's what sets it apart from, you know, with a title like Vacation Land, you say, oh, well, this is like a nice little romp. And it does get very philosophical almost, and a very interrogating in a way that most of these kind of books don't.
Yeah, he remembers, as I do from living on the East Coast, all those Maine license plates that said Maine, Vacation Land, and he sort of gets to the underbelly of Vacation Land in there too.
Right.
Yeah, John Hodgman's Vacation Land. And we're talking with J. Aubrey Herzog at Northtown Books in Arcata about his picks for our Summer Reads segment. And if you have some stuff you want to ask about here, join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. So what else is on your list, Jay?
Well, this is kind of an oddball choice. It's called a book called The Show That Never Ends by David Weigel. The subtitle is The Rise and Fall of Prog Rock. And it's basically a history of progressive rock in the 70s, told by someone who's actually a serious fan, but also kind of realizes the absurdity of the excesses of the music. David Weigel is probably better known as a political reporter for the Washington Post, but if you follow him on Twitter, you know that he's a big fan of progressive rock because he always posts comments about that kind of music. It's very in-depth. I think it would appeal to someone who's not really into the music, necessarily into the music, too, just because of the stories that he tells, that he uncovers.
I read the New Yorker's account of this book and was fascinated by it because I had friends who were very much into prog rock as a child of the 70s myself, and I noticed that it seemed like the way the book was written, it was written for a more general audience who didn't necessarily know the music that well.
The thing is, I have to admit, I was a fan of prog rock when I was a teenager.
You're in a safe space here.
And I found out things that I didn't know. So I think it would appeal to a general audience and to the aficionado as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's even in there, but things like when Peter Gabriel was in his latter days with Genesis, the fact that his costumes were getting so elaborate, he couldn't get the microphone near his mouth.
Right.
So there were a few excesses in there. The Show That Never Ends by David Weigel, as recommended by J. Aubrey Herzog at Northtown Books in Arcata. Anything else on your list?
There's another book which is just slightly more serious. It's a book called Tropic of Kansas. It's a novel by Christopher Brown. I would call it science fiction. It's like near future science fiction. A very dystopian kind of book, but it reads like something that could happen 10 years from now. If the current trends continue, it's about a future in which the United States is broken up into little parts, and there's a DMZ called the Tropic of Kansas, and it's about these two characters. One is this young man Sig, who's a orphan of political dissidents, and then his foster sister, who's actually a government investigator who works for the government, and how their stories collide and intersect.
All right, so this so interesting. So it's somewhere in the realm of I don't know what are the books about the Hunger Games, about the United States split into pieces.
I would say it's maybe less melodramatic than those kind of books. I found it very realistic and very. Not a kind of hyped up version of reality, right, but a very kind of realistic one.
Tropic of Kansas by Christopher Brown, and then Christopher Brown's name sounds familiar. Is he known for some other works too?
He's actually written other science fiction books. I think he's mainly known for short stories. I don't think he's had a lot of novels before this one.
We were talking about some graphic novels in here, and it brings me to a list that I noticed on the website from recommendations you had made previously, Jay. And one of them was is a book about George Harriman, the creator of Crazy Cat.
Right. That was a book. It's called Crazy. It's a very interesting, in-depth book about not just about George Herrmann, but about newspaper culture in the early 20th century and the racial kind of background of New Orleans, where he grew up. And basically he was an African American who could pass for white, and he moved to Los Angeles and basically did that for the rest of his life. He always kind of made allusions that he was Greek or he was, you know, some other ethnicity. And the book also does a good job about interrogating how the comic strip kind of deals with very subtly kind of subtextual issues of race.
If for people who've never seen Crazy Cat and only know it from Ignatz the Mouse throwing bricks at the head of Crazy Cat, who just thought that Ignatz was a little angel, it's kind of a surrealist strip.
It is. It's very poetic in a way, too. A lot of poets, like E. E. Cummings, was a big fan of Crazy Cat, because there is a language, there's a certain almost like Shakespearean kind of hipster kind of language to it. And I think a lot of that comes from Herrmann's New Orleans background.
So over the course of a week, a month, I mean, how many books do you consume yourself, Jay?
I would say I try to read a book or two a week. I don't know what that averages out to.
Well, you know, somewhere between probably 50 and 100 a year.
Yeah. I have to admit, though, I will read novels and get halfway through and abandon them. I used to have a rule that I had to finish whatever book I started. I think since working at the bookstore as long as I have, I no longer have that rule.
Oh, that's interesting.
Too many other things to read.
Yeah, but you'll give up on a novel then.
I will, yeah. I'm kind of tough on novels in particular. They have to give me something that, something special to keep me going.
And what's your general mix of fiction versus nonfiction, do you think?
I probably read more fiction, but I find I absorb nonfiction in a way that I kind of like eat it up like potato chips, whereas a novel, I kind of read it more slowly and kind of savor it a little bit more.
I like the potato chips example. Is there anything else on your list, Jay?
I have a couple more books here. Mm-hmm. One is the latest book by David Sedaris called Calypso.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a return to form for him. A lot of the stories are about his family and his father, and I felt like it was much more unified as a collection, but there's some screamingly funny things in there as well.
This is the Baseby, how he can't help but being funny, and yet he can also make you cry in a matter of pages, talking about his parents and the times on the North Carolina coast and all that.
Right. It's a good balance, I think, you know.
Calypso by David Sedaris, and what else is on there?
I have another book. It's a book of short stories called The Largesse of the Sea Maiden by Dennis Johnson. It's his last book. He passed away last year. It's a very, I think it's an appropriate swan song. It's kind of similar to, he had a previous book of stories from several decades ago called Jesus' Son. There's some similarities to that. Several of the stories are about sort of down and out characters with problems of addiction. But there's a couple stories at the end of the book that I think are almost new for him and he was exploring new ground, I think, even to the end. And I think it's a great last statement from him.
This is a great list. I wrote this book because I love you by Tim Cryer. All the Answers by Michael Kupperman. Vacation Land by John Hodgman. The Show That Never Ends by David Weigel. Tropic of Kansas by Christopher Brown. Calypso by David Sedaris. And The Largesse of the Sea Maiden by Dennis Johnson. And have you read all these yourself already?
I have.
Wow. Okay. So thanks for sharing the thoughts with us. Jay Aubrey Herzog works at Northtown Books in Arcata. And do you have a title at Northtown Books?
I'm just a bookseller.
But great advice there. And thanks for joining us today on Summer Reads. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy.